Okay, I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. We move on to item number one, which is apologies.
Sorry, we have apologies to Councillor Finn.
Okay. Okay. And then we'll move on to number two, declarations of interest. Do we have any? Okay, thank you. Moving on to number three is the action sheet arising from the HCE held on the 18th of March. There is 1 and 2 pages. If we can have a proposer and a seconder. Councillor Lee Surgener.
Can I actually come in with accuracy on something? Possible?
Yes.
Connor, he's going to say run and jump. Under page one there regarding the running track, I think maybe at the last committee meeting, Connor, you maybe said that you would maybe come back and give us an overview maybe in May time. Would it be possible maybe just to get May included in that paragraph as well? If possible?
Through the chair, yes, we can add that to the action sheet.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Carl.
Have a seconder? Okay. Then moving on to number four, which is the officer's report on the notice of motion, trauma-informed practice. I'm going to bring in Gary just first.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. This report is in response to a notice of motion that came through Council that Newry Moreland Down District Council should have a commitment to trauma-informed practice, to be a trauma-informed organisation, and to ensure that appropriate training for Council is delivered in this area as appropriate. Members, you already have the report and you already have the link to the supporting material, which you'll be aware of. Trauma-informed practice is now part of Programme for Government. And the basic premise behind it is that having been trauma aware and aware of the impact that trauma has, both on an individual and the environment and their interaction with both around their emotional well-being and their physical well-being, impacts not just on children, but through the whole life cycle. And certainly for us as an organisation, we are well aware of the impact that that has on the people that we serve within our communities. And linking that into our community planning department as well around what that looks like for them. So for us, it's about looking at Council, where that sits in the safeguarding continuum in the context of trauma. So Council sits across primarily the prevention strand of it, but also in that reporting, receiving of information and reporting incidents in relation to trauma as well. So we sit in probably the front two-thirds of that whole process, And actually, elected members themselves will be well aware of the fact that they will deal with members of their community who will have themselves experienced trauma within their life, either through a result of our historical nature within Northern Ireland, but also in the context of things like violence against women and girls, which is a very topical subject at the minute as well, domestic abuse and those sorts of things. So it's about recognising what can we do within council in order to try and mitigate against that trauma and put in place the right processes and programmes in order to manage what that looks like. I think for me, I just wanted to highlight the fact while this originated out of the recognition that where children suffer trauma, it has a significant both financial impact on Northern Ireland as a community. It's the figure is something like £250 million a year, and that was a few years ago. So actually, by putting early intervention in, we're going to actually try and reduce that and actually improve individual resilience and how they manage their lives, how they improve relationships and how they sort of live their lives better, actually. And you will see in there that there was a report that went through in 2018 that went through to SOLAS from the Safeguarding Board for Northern Ireland, which looked at what those adverse childhood experiences look like and what that might look like for us as an organisation. So I will just remind you of some of those. And they are that we need to have an awareness of the adverse childhood experiences, the type of experiences which may cause trauma in a child's life. And that's about significant incidents. It's not about minor incidents. It's about significant incidents or a number of minor incidents taken together that will form a significant impact on the child. Being aware of the potential impact of these adversities on the development of a child and across their life course. And being able to identify what creates resilience to cope with adversity. And I think it's important to say that from a council point of view, that includes staff, whether that's through secondary trauma or vicarious trauma or direct trauma, that we have a duty of care and we have a responsibility to support them as part of that wider sort of concept of harm. And also for us around that piece around developing policies and practice where we embed trauma and practice within our organisation. And certainly from council point of view, we've been doing that for a number of years and continue to collaborate both internally and externally in the context of trauma-informed approaches. We've got currently work ongoing in the context, sort of linking in with our policy department to see if we can find a way of trying to embed that within our policies where people have to acknowledge and recognise what trauma might look like in the policies that they're actually developing, building it into trauma-informed practice. It's also about recognising this isn't just about the personal experiences that people have, but it's about those environmental factors. So if you're living in an area of antisocial behaviour or an area of high poverty and deprivation, the impact that has on individuals and their ability to move forward in their lives. We've also linked in with senior management, and even within our yearly appraisal system or people perform grow process, there is that part of the people element to it, which is that engagement piece for managers to talk to staff about what that looks like for them and how they are within their own personal lives, particularly around that piece where you have that working from home process as well. So in its simplest form, it's about how do we create a safe environment, both physically and emotionally within council, within our practice, within our structures, within our service delivery, and that wider cultural piece as well. Certainly in the context of that, part of the key element of that will be the delivery of training. So there's two elements to the training. There is a training framework that sits within the trauma-informed practice development, the trauma-informed approach, sorry. And certainly from a council point of view, there will be both an e-learning and a face-to-face module. The e-learning module will be a mandatory requirement for all staff, which explains to them what trauma might look like and actually where they can be signposted to support services, including the likes of myself that might be able to help them in development practice and process as well. In addition to that, there would be a face-to-face training delivery as well, where that can be done, particularly for individuals or departments that would have a face-to-face interaction with the public in particular areas where that might be more prevalent. So from a recommendation point of view, for me, I would be saying to yourselves, members, that you would support the motion that council commit and continue to develop as a trauma-informed organisation, and that certainly from my point of view, I can collaborate with the Safeguard for Northern Ireland trauma-informed implementation team to identify a suitable opportunity for training select members and obviously the e-learning face-to-face training for staff as well. and I'm happy to take any questions from.
Councillor Truesdale, would you like to come in?
Thank you. Thanks, Gary. I mean, I just wanted to say as well, I'd like to thank Gary for the comprehensive and detailed report. And also, I'd like to start on a positive, because I've already seen two really excellent areas of good practice that some people might have missed. But the first one was when the Violence Against Women and Girls strategy was introduced into the pretty much a full chamber. I think it was Gary that was sat outside and let people know that if they needed to leave, if they heard subject matter that triggered something within them, if they just didn't like the things that they were hearing and needed to take a beat, then Gary was outside ready to be there for anybody who needed to just have a bit of space to breathe. So that is perfect trauma-informed care. And the second one was, which people might not be aware of so much, was the household recycling guys. They're very isolated and had a series of difficult incidents that required an intervention that S&E acted on immediately. And that's another example of trauma-informed care. They recognised that there was a need. How do we deal with it? We're going to do this. So that was two really good examples of trauma-informed council. So trauma refers to, as already said, experience that can cause intense physical and physiological stress reactions. Could be one event, could be multiple events, could be a set of circumstances experienced as physically or emotionally harmful or threatening, and it has lasting adverse effects on the individual's physical, social, emotional, and well-being. So it's grounded in the understanding that the prevalence of trauma can have a significant impact, and we've already heard from different counsellors bringing different motions through about how this trauma can lead to things like drug addiction, risky behaviours, anxiety, depression, suicide, PTSD. So a trauma-informed approach has already been implemented in many councils across the water, but in my mind the need is greater here, because we live in a post-conflict society and we do not have a shared narrative of the troubles. There's lots of people living in the district with different backgrounds, coming from different places. Some are living with the ACEs, you've already heard. Others may be refugees and asylum seekers who have escaped horrors that we thankfully can't even imagine. Others come from black minority ethnic communities who have recently been threatened or attacked by racist thugs in their own homes. And when I wrote that, I was thinking specifically about the recent events in Newry. And there are those who have had trauma that has either directly affected them or intergenerational trauma which has been passed down to them. And on that point, I'd also like to thank the work of the Officers and Counsellors on the Good Relations Forum, as well as the PCSP subcommittees, because as a post-conflict society, we need to be really careful with others around sensitive anniversaries, and they are excellent at that. So it just means going forward, we would calibrate our thinking, we'd be more mindful of others around us, whether that's colleagues in the chamber or constituents, and we pay attention to how we engage with others, because being trauma sensitive means you switch the thinking from what's wrong with you to what happened to you. So if we truly took on a trauma lens approach through specific training, then we'd do business very differently. And we would be playing our part in stopping the psychological torture of those who have already been deeply traumatised by the events visited upon them. And we would naturally be a kinder society, because we first should do no harm. So thank you, Gary. I have a couple of questions, if that's okay, on your paper.
Of course.
I really brought this motion because there was a large influx in the 2023 election of new councillors to council. So has there been specific training carried out before 2023 across council?
Yes, there was. There was an e-learning package that sat on the previous local government e-learning platform, which council then moved on to a new provider about a year ago, and I know there's been implementation, a slowness in implementation, put it like that. And certainly there was training pre
that would have been December 2023, that was on that platform for council members and staff. And then that will be implemented again. I currently sit on the SBNI Trauma Committee. One of the things we're working on at the minute is upgrading and improving the training package. So there is going to be a new training programme that is currently in process of being signed off for the face-to-face training. And then I'll be sitting on a pilot for the e-learning package as well. That will hopefully be implemented. I couldn't give you a time frame around that because we're at the behest of the Safeguarding Board, but hopefully within a relatively short period of time that they can then be implemented moving forward.
That's great, because my next question was, will that be returning? So you've answered it both there. And the second thing, it's not really a question, it's more a comment. When I was putting this together, I was thinking about people who work alone in the council that are going out into quite difficult situations. I was thinking specifically of the dog wardens, who I know there's two, but sometimes if one's not there, obviously there's only one left. And they're going into people's homes. They're maybe removing a dog. It can be quite difficult to do all that and then walk away with the dog. You know, I can imagine children crying and the dog warden being called all sorts and things like that. And I just think that those people who do have to go out into those difficult situations in people's homes or businesses, that those are the people that we should be thinking about when it comes to trauma-informed care. You know, people who are on their own.
Yes, absolutely, and that's that wider piece around the duty of care, and just building on what you said, certainly in my experience within my role, I would expect for people to contact me within my role around what that actually looks like. So we would have, for example, dog wardens going in and taking dogs and people threatening to self-harm. And as I said earlier in my report, and when you look at secondary trauma and vicarious trauma, then actually that's the role that we have around that wider duty of care and a management responsibility and a corporate responsibility to look after our staff. So yes, that would be part of that whole process. And again, as we're developing our policies and moving forward, trying to upgrade our policies, then that should be taken into account as part of that process as well.
That's super. Thank you very much. That's me.
Is there anybody else who wants to come in there?
Thanks so much. I know I'm not a member of this committee, and I'd like to thank the opportunity for allowing me to speak. I've been listening very much to yourself this past 5 or 10 minutes or so about mental health and it's all that goes with it, you know. And I think over this past lot of years there has been more awareness. For many years it was brushed under the carpet, and you know, people who were impacted with the likes of post-traumatic stress disorder and everything were sort of like shunned and felt there's nowhere to go. But I do welcome efforts that this council is making in regards to, you know, reaching out and embracing those within the organisation that are impacted upon or affected by mental health crisis. It's also encouraging people, because people they put up defensive barriers. You know, I'm all right. You know what I mean? Like, I know I've been frank and open and honest before about it. I'd four experiences of that impacted upon me, and it was post-traumatic stress disorder. But part of the case was I was let go. I was very much affected by suicide, and I was let go for a year before people realised, oh, you should have got Terry in a lot sooner. But I do, over the years, I've become a very passionate supporter of mental health awareness, suicide prevention and everything, and any efforts that this council or through yourself are making are to be highly commended and to be encouraged. So all I can say, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Lee Searchner.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Andrews, for sharing your story, your testament. Definitely mental health is an ongoing issue. It doesn't go away, and anything we can do, you know, both here to promote it as well throughout our district, even if we have to be the leaders of it, is definitely welcomed. And on behalf of Councillor Truesdale, because I know she's on this committee, I'm happy to proposed recommendations, and also good to hear about the ongoing dedication to the training towards this. Thank you.
And Councillor Declan Murphy, online.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, no, I'd just like to concur, you know, with the comments from the previous speakers. Obviously a very, very important issue, and it's good to see that a decision has been made here tonight on it. So if nobody else has done it, I'm happy enough to second, you know, the proposal. So well done, Jill, for taking this.
Thank you.
Thanks for this.
Chair, thank you. Just to note that we would be happy to support this as well, and that is a very, is worthwhile to bring these issues forward, that I spent 11 years working within the victims sector, and that there is widespread transgenerational trauma, but that the stress of at work does absolutely have an impact on people, and we obviously don't know people's own personal lives, and I suppose that it is worthwhile that we as a council take steps to be fully informed how we can be best placed to help those people. Thank you everybody for that. We're going to move on then to 5, which is the District Electoral Area Forums Update Report, and that'll be Ali.
Thanks, Chair. Members, I don't propose to speak to the report. It's for the purpose of approving the actions in the action sheets listed at 3.1, unless anyone has any specific questions. Thank you.
Anybody? Any questions? Comments? A proposer and a seconder. Okay. Seconder. Okay, item 68 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I please have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? McGuinness, yeah, and Mathers, yeah. So. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 6 was the service delivery arrangements. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, to approve the enhanced service delivery of programmes within facilities as set out within the officer's report. It was also agreed that a report be brought to committee within 3 months, reviewing the operating model of the new service delivery arrangements. Item 7 is the ledger facilities contract. It was agreed on proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Jackson, to approve the appointment of a contractor via direct award contract to undertake essential servicing and maintenance in facilities, as detailed within the officer's report. And item 8 was the Castle Park licence agreement. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, to approve the appointment of a preferred operator for service delivery over a 5-year period, subject to annual review as set out within the officer's report. And then we have items 9, 10 and 11 are for noting, if anybody wishes to make any comment. Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, sorry, I know it's for noting only, but it's just that it's a very disappointing response that fails to address any concerns that educationists and wider society have about the RAISE programme, the methodology selected and how it has been applied. The first principle of education is that it should be child-centred. Many schools are already chronically underfunded and running on deficit budgets. The RAISE programme recognises
neither of these facts and uses a flawed formula to select who will be funded yet again.
Yeah, we'll just move to comments. Thank you. Anybody else? Sorry, Chair. Councillor Jackson, go ahead.
Yeah, I know it's not maybe on the agenda, but I was wanting to ask, do we have a opening date for the Ballinhinch, or the reopening date for the Ballinhinch Community Centre?
We can pick that up after the meeting with the councillor, just to confirm that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there nobody else? Yeah, we can just get a proposer and seconder. Please. Councillor Mathers? Brings us to the end, folks. Thank you very much. See you at home.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.